لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. ومريم ابنة عمران. Maryam alayhi salam is normally grouped with three other ladies when it comes to the best of the best or the most perfect ladies to have ever walked on the face of this earth. Indeed, she's always grouped in traditions, especially in non-Shi'i traditions, alongside Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Fir'aun, alongside the lady who we honor alongside her tonight, Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam, and alongside Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha. You therefore find that these ladies, in a number of traditions, in Shi'i and mainly in non-Shi'i literature, are always praised. But in non-Shi'i literature, you always find them grouped together, either with the word afdal or with the word kamal. So therefore, if you want to see who is seen as the best of the best, or who is seen as the perfect of the perfect, works such as Bukhari, such as Muslim, such as Nasa'i, and other works such as the Musnad of Ahmad bin Hanbal, allude to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family mentioning that the greatest ladies to have ever walked on the face of this earth were Maryam, Asiya, Khadija, and Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. You therefore find that in Shi'i literature, of course, we don't limit it, nor in non-Shi'i literature, because in Shi'i literature, there are other great ladies who a lot of the non-Shi'i world hardly ever discuss. As in, there are ladies like, for example, Fidda alayhi salam, or ladies such as Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, or ladies such as Umm al-Baneen alayhi salam, or even ladies, for example, such as Fatima bint Asad alayhi salam, who were amongst the most perfect of ladies. But you see that in non-Shi'i literature, there's always a grouping of these four. The question arises, why were these four grouped together? What is it about these four that we can learn and apply into our lives? Because many times in our communities, on the one hand, you have people who always say, why do you always talk about males in your lectures? All the imams are males. All the prophets are males. Where are our female role models? On the one hand, this lecture becomes of the utmost importance because now we have four female role models for us to look at. These female role models are not just role models for females in the community. They're role models for all of the members of our communities, because we have this habit that when we talk about a female, she's a role model for our sisters. But when we talk about a male, he's a role model for everybody. No, on the contrary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say in the Quran that we give the example of a female for those who believe as an example to all females. Never does Allah say that. Rather, Allah will give a general statement. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives an example for those who believe. Male or female, there are females in our lives, for example, like our mothers. They could be role models for us, even if we're men. And likewise, therefore, in Islamic history, You find that on the first level, these are role models for males and females. The common denominators between them are many. But what you find that some of these common denominators may be theological, but the main common denominators are spiritual. What do I mean? Theologically, all four of these ladies never in their life hurt the prophet of their time. Maryam alayhi salam never once hurt the prophet of her time. And Maryam in her time, there were two prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who we're going to discuss. The prophet Yahya and the prophet Isa alayhim as-salam. Never did Maryam hurt. Never was she rude to them. Never did she speak in a way that caused chaos for them. Never did she offend any of the rest of her family members. You find therefore Maryam never hurt the prophet of her time. Asiya never hurt the prophet of her time. There were two. Musa and Harun, did Asiya ever become rude to them? Did Asiya ever wage war against them? Did Asiya ever hurt them? Did Asiya ever spy on them secretly or divulge their secrets to others in their family? So you find that with Asiya. Likewise, Sayyidah Khadija alayhi salam, was she rude to the Prophet of her time? On the contrary. You find that Sayyidah Khadija alayhi salam was the beacon of light and the backbone for the Prophet of her time. And on the fourth level, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam never once in her life hurt the Prophet of her time. So that's on a theological level. But on the spiritual level is what I want to focus on today. Because the common denominator between these four is their patience, their perseverance, and their commitment to God's cause in the face of pressure around them. Because there are many ladies in the world today who face difficulties in their lives. There are so many ladies we see in the world around us who face difficulties when it comes to their relationships with their husbands, their relationships with their family members, their relationships with their community. How many ladies do you see in this world who find it difficult to remain patient and persevere when they feel there's so much oppression around them? Imagine you're a lady in this world who has either literally or metaphorically been kicked black and blue. You've been hurt. You've been emotionally abused. It's difficult for you to maintain patience and perseverance. You see that there's someone who looks down at you in your family. Someone who looks arrogantly towards you. You see sometimes even the system of the mosque that you go to is a system that does not encourage you to be someone who gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes these ladies and gents within our communities, sometimes their patience begins to wear off. Sometimes they don't have that same perseverance. Sometimes even shaitan begins to whisper to them, why are you so committed to God? What's God done for you in life? What happiness have you found with God in your life for you to be so committed towards the cause of God? When therefore you have a friend of yours, like your close friend at school, or you have a family member of yours, like a sister of yours, or a brother of yours, and they're like, listen, I don't have enough sabr anymore. I don't have enough perseverance anymore. I've had the worst marriage. I live in the worst community. Sometimes you get that in your family. You may have a sister of yours who comes to you and says, I'm losing my sabr. I'm living with someone who's rude to me. I'm losing my sabr. I work in a community that's judgmental to me. Who do these ladies and gents hold on to except these four? Maryam, Asiya, Khadija, and Fatima, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, were the embodiment of patience, perseverance, and an unwavering commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any of you at home are facing a period where you find yourself wavering in the way that you commit yourself to God, you find that the tables are not turning for you, the roll of the dice is not going your way in life, then study these four. For one of the reasons that these four may have been grouped together is because of their patience, perseverance, and commitment to God became an example for billions in human history. Let us therefore tonight examine the life of Asiya, Maryam, Khadija, and Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, in order that we're able to see how their perseverance and patience in the face of difficulty shone through for them and shone through for our life today. The first one we'll look at is who? We'll begin by looking at Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that she's an example for all of us. In the Quran, in Surah 66 of the Quran, Surah At-Tahrim, verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells every male and female who is ever gonna read the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives an example to those who believe. Why does Allah give amthila in the Quran? Why does God give so many examples? It's because me as a human being, if you tell me be patient, I'll be like, give me an example of how to be. True? If you ask me to do something, I'll say, show me how it's done. Give me an example. God knows the way that we work as human beings. So what God does in the Quran is that He gives us examples and He tells us, follow their example. Even if you can't follow it to the T, the fact that they faced what they faced and they came through with shining colors, with the greatest of success, likewise you could do the same. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives an example to those who believe. You claim you have iman? Take this person as an example. Who? امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْن. The wife of Fir'aun. This was a lady who was living in luxury. Yani, in reality, if you've got a house on the Nile today, in Egypt, in Cairo, then you're doing well in life, correct? Imagine you've got a house on the Nile. Your house overlooks the Nile. You're doing well in life. You have the luxuries of this world. Everything's going for you. She missed only one thing in her life, in reality. The only thing missing was a child. She wanted a child. She could have the biggest house in the world. She could have the best luxuries. She could have the most friends. But the child was missing. She wanted a child in her life. So what did she do? She was thinking that there'll be a day that it could happen. It might not happen. At the same time, what was happening? There were children being killed in Egypt. Subhanallah. In Egypt, what were they doing? They were killing newborn males because they had been told there'll be a newborn male who'll emerge. Who'll take over what? Who'll take over Pharaoh's kingdom. So what they were doing, they were massacring these newborn males. And the depth of jahiliyyah is when you don't lose any sleep over the killing of a child. If you want to know, what is a society that is jahil? Whether it's Arabia, whether it's Karbala on the 10th of Muharram, or whether it's today in the world, where a person says, well, you know what, I slept with someone I didn't know really, and I suppose I'm pregnant now, but I just get rid of it. You're very normal. Normal. A person in some cases doesn't bat an eyelid. In those cases, it was normal. Baby, no baby, just get rid of it. Human, fetus, soul, womb, out of this body. No, it doesn't make a difference. Just get rid of it. Musa's mom knew very well, and the Quran highlights something to us. When you are in trouble in this world, talk to Allah, and Allah will talk back to you. Is she a prophet? No. The Quran says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. Wahi is normally only for prophets. So how comes the Quran says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ نَرْضَعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The Quran said that we will make sure that when you put him in the basket, we'll return him to you. Not just return him to you, we'll return him as one of our messengers one day, okay? That mother had that faith, that perseverance. She put her baby within the basket. Who picked him up? Asiya. Asiya, when she picked him up, she told Pharaoh, look, there's a baby here. The parents have abandoned it. Is there any way that we can have it? Pharaoh's like, I've got a newborn male that's going to take over my kingdom. I've heard this news and they say that this is the truth. So therefore, I'm going to make sure that I have to kill this baby. She's like, Pharaoh, well, how much do you love me? If you love me, you wouldn't kill this baby. You know that I can't have kids. I want to have a child, Fir'aun. And you can see that this baby is in front of me. Allow me to have the baby, please. And subhanallah, Fir'aun takes that baby, Musa, and he says, because you, O Asiya, are the apple of my eye, then I will keep this baby for you, but I'm worried this could be the baby who ends up being the cause of my damnation. Yes? When therefore he takes that baby, Asiya needs someone to breastfeed this baby. Who's going to be there to provide the milk for the baby? Eventually, Allah's promise to the mother of Musa comes true. That promise that we'll return him to you. Eventually, Musa's sister ends up telling the court of Fir'aun, when they are taking applications, because this baby is not taking milk from anyone. Eventually, she tells the court, I know a lady. That lady, I'm sure this baby will take from. They're like, okay, let's try. It doesn't seem like it. Subhanallah, as soon as Musa comes near his mother, straight away, let alone the fact that Musa can only take from that believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you found that Asiya at the beginning, what was she? Asiya was in an environment of luxury, an environment where she had everything, but she then realized that Moses' words, Moses' purity, was the truth that she wanted to hold on to. Because when Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he left the town, it had broken her heart. Remember when he tried to stop the fight between the Egyptian and the Israelite? That broke her heart already. Until Musa returned one day. Asiya knew from a young age that Musa was special. She knew there's something different about him. But she also knew, how do I reveal one day that I'm going to be on the path of commitment to Allah in the face of pressure, in the face of difficulty, in the face of an environment that is ready to execute me? Moses, when he returns to Pharaoh, he knows Asiya. For goodness sake, she is the one who has raised him. He knows at the same time, Fir'aun and his courtiers and his guards. And he comes to them and invites them towards the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Invites them. Some people join his path doing taqiyah. You all know the story of that rajul, the mu'min rajul min al Fir'aun yaktumu imana. There was one on the path, but he was concealing his faith. But what does Asiya do? This is my husband. And if I'm going to go against him, I'm going to have to show the greatest amount of sabr. Look at that definitive relationship, Asiya, Maryam, Khadija, and Fatima. That the definitive relationship between them is number one. Recognizing that in this world, we ask Allah to be with us at all times of patience. You promised, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I'm going to need you. Because now I'm going to announce to my husband that I'm no longer on his path. A husband who has looked after me all my life, has catered for me all my life, and now I'm going to turn around to him. Ya Allah, I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to be perseverant. I know that this is going to bring a backlash. It could even result in my death. For the ladies out there who are being emotionally abused, or physically abused, or rudely treated, hold on to Asiya, for here is a lady who is about to take a decision that could end up losing her life, causing the loss of her life. Musa's magic overtakes the magic of the magicians. Yes, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given a certain miracle for their period. In those days, Pharaoh had his magicians who would make that mercury in that particular sunlight look like a snake that was moving. Yes, but imagine you have a snake that is actually moving, not just a stick that looks like a magical trick. The moment this was done, those three magicians went down in sujood. They said, now we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. Notice how they say, we believe in the Lord of the Prophet and the successor of the Prophet. The full shahada is to believe in Allah, the Prophet, and the one who he says is to me, like whatever. So they believed. Now she turned round to Fir'aun and she said to him, I also believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Number one, commitment to Allah. If you lose all the friends in this world, while Allah is your friend, do you need any other friend? What did I lose, O Allah, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam says, when I found you? And what did I find when I lost you? Yes. As Imam al-Husayn would always mention throughout his life, sabran ala qadaak, la mu'ina siwaak. Patience with what you've ordained. There is no helper and friend like you. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. So she found, number one, if the community leaves me, if even my in-laws reject me, if relatives make fun of me, I have you, O Allah. Number two, She had the patience and the perseverance when Pharaoh said to her, I am your Lord. What do you mean the Lord of Musa and Harun? She said, there's a difference between you and the Lord of Musa and Harun. This requires patience, what she's about to say, because this is a death wish now. She said, the difference between you and the Lord of Musa and Harun is that there are times you fall asleep, whereas his Lord is always awake. I'm your wife. I've seen that you fall asleep. I've seen that you're not aware of everything that happens around you. His Lord is aware of everything. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhu sinatun wa la nawm. This is huge in Ayat al-Kursi, because I don't want a Lord, I'm sleeping and he's sleeping. I want a Lord who is ever vigilant of the affairs of his creation. He said to her, listen to the third point. He said to her, then I'm going to execute you the way I executed those magicians. She said, if this is what it takes for me to be alongside Moses and his Lord, then so be it. I ask all those who are watching that, yes, we face trials with our marriages, with our children, with our families. Have you ever had a moment where someone says to you, your hands and your feet, I'm going to separate them with pillars until your whole body is ripped into pieces? Look what the Quran said about her. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُو إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّي. Listen to her dua. What's her dua? Because she knows, I've got a connection with God. If I lose everyone, Ya Allah, while I have you, I know that you're always listening to me. رَبِّي بْنِلِي. Oh Allah, build for me بَيْتًا عِنْدَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Build for me a house, عندك في الجنة. Oh Allah, build for me a house near you in Jannah. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, lives at house number 7 in Jannah. Does she want house number 9? No. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no proximity physically. Something near to your mercy, near to your blessings. Somewhere where I can always remember you. For it is you who I hold on to in the middle of difficulties. Rabbi, ibn li, عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. Sometimes, subhanAllah, if the people around you are ظالم, you prefer to leave this world. Isn't that true? If everyone around you is a ظالم, then you prefer to leave. She said, save me from فرعون. Baba, فرعون has a mansion. فرعون has the best horses. فرعون has the best chariots. There are some of these four ladies, what's unique about them? The pleasures of dunya and the wealth of dunya and the adornments of dunya could have all been there for them. They weren't swayed by them. They could have been, but they weren't swayed by them. She looked at all of it. She said, no, no. You know what I want? I want the pleasure of my Lord. I want a house in Jannah. A house over here might be a nice house. One day it's going to be ruined and it'll go. Whereas a house in Jannah is the permanent abode. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِ. SubhanAllah, there's an interesting point here. If you live around a ظالم, like a husband who's ظالم, an uncle who's a ظالم, a cousin who's a ظالم, a community who are full of ظالمين, read dua to Allah to help save you. Sometimes people give up. Wallah, no one can help me. Life is awful. It's atrocious. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks you about me, tell them that I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will answer the supplication of the supplicant if they call out towards me. In this holy month of Ramadan, be like Asiya. Read her dua. You may be watching this and you have a husband who's beaten you black and blue. You may be watching this and you are part of a community that judges you. A community that insults you. A community that's rude to you. That's why I always recommend, either you read this dua of Asiya, رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنْ فَرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ, because we have Fara'in in every generation, don't we? Oh no! Do we have Fara'ons in every generation? Of course we do. Every generation of people has a Pharaoh. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, save me. Save me from the machinations and the works of the Pharaoh of my time. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. A qawm which is ظَالِم. Which qawm is that? The one that slanders you when you've done nothing wrong. Yes? They slander you and they attack you when you've done absolutely zero wrong, but because of their envy against you. The hasad overtakes them. They cannot take what you've achieved. you see their animalistic ways come out, where they start being rude, slanderous, without verifying which information reaches them. When someone has done dhulm to you, either read this ayah, the ayah of Asiya, or read what? Dua Jawshan al-Saghir of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, Dua Jawshan, many people read Dua Jawshan al-Kabir in the month of Shahar Ramadan. Try and read Dua Jawshan al-Saghir. Dua Jawshan al-Saghir of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. You have someone who always causes you trouble. You may have stalkers in your life. You may have people who have 75 different accounts, but they pretend they are 75 different people when it's really the same person attacking you. You have keyboard warriors in your life. Yes, these types of people, they exist. Listen, at the end of the day, in our communities, you have the good, the bad, and the extremely ugly. So when you have that, you read dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, najjini from these fara'ina, please. These pharaohs, they're in every generation. You know what he did to her? He ripped her body into pieces. Her body he ripped to pieces. You'd think that she would be going through the worst time in her life. She knows that my Lord is waiting for me. My Lord is going to be there for me on a day where this man doesn't just drown in this world. He'll be drowning in the pits of hell in the hereafter. But her patience, her perseverance, and her commitment to God in the face of that pressure was unwavering. That's the first of the four ladies. The second of them is, of course, Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Because Surah 66, verse 11 said what? ضَرَبَ اللَّهَ مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. The next ayah began straight away. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. Straight away, the Quran said, and after her is Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Someone says, but Sayyidina, Asiya, I can understand. Asiya lived in a difficult time of Fir'aun. She got tortured. Torture can come physically. Torture can also come emotionally. Maryam, firstly, many people forget that Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam lived in a time where what? Where the Jewish community was already in a very tumultuous period. There was a back and forth between them and the Romans. The Romans massacred a lot of the Jewish community. The Jewish community sought to burn down Jerusalem or sought to burn down parts of the Roman Empire on many occasions. It was very normal, by the way, in the time of Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, for there to be heads on the streets, for there to be people crucified. Yes, because we're going to come very soon in my majalis to whether Jesus was crucified or no. They were very normal for people to be crucified. People were seen as highway thieves, bandits, or just people who caused insurrections, treason against the government. It's not easy for a lady living in that time. Today in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, there are ladies who live in a period where they've seen dead bodies everywhere. Imagine as a child, you grow up, you see dead bodies everywhere. Psychologically, you're affected. So what do you need? Sabr, patience, or perseverance. And you need that commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the face of difficult lives. You think Maryam grew up in a rich family? Because sometimes you'll have people say, I have not seen the luxuries of this world. I grew up in a poor family. I hate this world. There's no God. Maryam, Nazareth. There are certain groups who lived in that particular world. Many of them, for example, were seen as living very poor lives. The life, for example, when we come to Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he was of the tectons. These are like woodcutters, basic jobs. They go around looking for work. It's not like Maryam alayhi salam grew up in a lap of luxury. She was lucky that her father was a holy man. Her mother was a wonderful lady, but she didn't have luxuries around her. She was living in a very basic environment. She also had all these deaths around her. But she would swap all of that rather than people accusing her of committing zina. True? Is there anything worse than people accusing you of being someone who has just committed adultery? And worse than that, you know when people outside of your religion or outside of your madhab attack you? You don't mind. It's when people in your madhab attack you or in your religion attack you. If it was people who were not of the Jewish community who were attacking Maryam, then you can say these are Romans attacking me or whatever. It was the members of the Jewish religious establishment who were attacking her. Asiya showed that when she was being attacked physically, she had patience, perseverance, and a commitment to God. Was Maryam the same? Exactly the same. Maryam, what did she show us? Hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the community is butchering you. Community is butchering you. God said to her, do not worry, I'll look after you. I know they're slandering you, because they're wondering what's going on with this birth, and we'll come to the Immaculate Conception and Annunciation. We'll come and discuss everything very soon about the virgin birth as well. But the community attacked her, and subhanallah, in our communities, there are ladies. They made one mistake in their youth. They were not that religious when they were younger. Does the community forget? No. There are men, if they do 100 mistakes, no one forgets. But the girl, if she does one mistake, the whole community remembers. Why? Maryam faced, but gave us an example. She faced slander from her own community. The people who claimed to be lovers of God. Because you know, amongst the Jews, even at the time, there was disagreements. Some of the Jews believed that those rabbis or those priests who were in charge of the temple were all hypocrites. They were working with the Romans and getting money into their pockets. Maryam sees the religious. Imagine the religious of your community are the slanderers. Then what hope is there for the non-religious? Wallah, sometimes the non-religious, I believe you me, they don't look religious, but their hearts are pure. And sometimes the ones who look the most religious are walking machines of deception on this earth. Yes? So Maryam alayhi salam, as the second of the four women, why she was put in that four? Because she had the sabr to not reply back and be rude, to not turn around and say, I hate all, to not turn around and blame everyone. I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not going to move me away, whatever you accuse me of, whatever you slander. My Lord knows what my character is. You know, sometimes people have that phrase, only God can judge me. طبعاً هاي كلمة حق يراد بها باطل sometimes. It's a good statement, but it can have a devious intention. You know, there are people who say, only God can judge me. No, no, but Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar still has to be done. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil still has to be done. But sometimes for us, when we face community abuse, remember that ultimately there is only one Malik Yawm al-Din. He knows your niyyah, he knows your intention, and he knows why you've done what you've done. So the Quran said, Asiya, example. Maryam, example. Who's the third out of these who's mentioned, for example? The third of them who is mentioned. Again, patient, perseverance, commitment to Allah, unwavering. Khadija al-Kubra, alayhi salam. Our good friend Ahmed Siddiq in Kuwait has started a Twitter hashtag. And I think it can be done on Instagram as well. Try and go online. It's called Ala Hubbi Khadija. I want everybody who's watching this, wherever you may be, this hashtag is to honor Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam tonight. Ala hubbi Khadija. For the love of Khadija alayhi salam. Many people have joined this. Whichever of you are watching at home, my dear brothers and sisters, whoever's watching online, whoever's watching on Sky, wherever you may be, ala hubbi Khadija. Put that online. There's a mass campaign worldwide to remember this lady, who arguably is the backbone of the religion of Islam. Her, Abu Talib, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, these three are the backbone of what? Of the religion of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who is the ones who took all his patience and perseverance and commitment to Allah, took his lessons, except Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. Sayyida Khadija, the patience and perseverance and commitment to God that she showed was unbelievable. If there are ladies out there who sometimes think life is hard, then come and look at Khadija looking at her husband being called all sorts of names while she was losing children. Imagine what society you live in. Wallah, even in the world today, this world we live in, that there are ladies, if they miscarry a baby, no one will make fun of them, true? Wallah, no one will make fun. Would you go up to a man whose wife has just miscarried and say to him, ha ha, abtar? Would you? Even in the non-Muslim world, wallah, no one would do that. People would say, sorry to hear about the bad news. Our condolences. Arabia, Sayyida Khadija loses her children. People see the Prophet walk past and they're like, ha ha, abtar. Abtar means what? The one whose line is cut. You've all read the ayah. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwa al-aas bin wa'il. La'natullah alayhi. Used to be the one who used to call the Prophet Abtar, Abtar, Abtar. Your wife's just miscarried her baby. Or your wife's baby, for example, like in the case of Sayyidah Khadija, is born and died young. Yes? And your husband, you see him. Does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when the companions tell him, say something, he said, when jahil speak to you, say peace. When there are thousands of jahils or millions, even in our own communities, don't reply to the jahil. Because that jahil, if he uses his aql, removes the hasad and uses his aql, will come to his senses. But when you have hasad and hiqd, like they had against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that Sayyida Khadija saw his patience, she became the beacon of patience. She saw her daughter Fatima, imagine. She saw her daughter Fatima cleaning the feces from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi that had been thrown on him by the likes of Abu Jahl and Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. And she would see her daughter Fatima clean, and she was proud of Fatima al-Zahra. Why? She saw the sabr and the perseverance of Fatima al-Zahra. And she realized straight away, that's my girl. That's my daughter. That she has that patience and perseverance and commitment to Allah's cause. In the midst of Arabia and how much they were hurting them. And that's why I always say when Fatima al-Zahra, they always say Asiya, Maryam, Khadija and Fatima. Fatima al-Zahra had that commitment, that patience, that perseverance, of course. Your prophet, your father has just died. And the community has already turned around against you and your husband. How much patience must you have? How much perseverance must you have? How much commitment must you have? That you're a lady and you're pregnant, and you have to witness people who continuously come to your house and say, give bay, and they leave, and they come and say, and leave, and they come and say, and your husband who gave so much to the religion of Islam, all of a sudden you see the Muslims forget how much he gave to the religion. All of a sudden, the Muslims forgotten what Amir al-Mu'mineen had done. Barring a few of them in your 10s or your 20s, all of a sudden people had left. Fatima al-Zahra, patient, yes. Perseverant, yes. And her commitment to Allah meant when she saw oppression, she spoke out. Abu Bakr said, Fadak is what? Fadak does not belong to you. Prophets don't leave behind inheritance. If I'm committed to Allah, then I'm not scared to speak in the face of anyone who oppresses God's prophet or oppresses his family. She came and she said to him, you say that the prophets don't leave behind inheritance. So did not Sulaiman inherit Dawood? Did not Yahya inherit Zakaria? Does not the Quran say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-maut? إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف. The Quran says that you're meant to leave a wasiyya, and within that wasiyya, you leave behind for your aqriba. Am I not from the aqriba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Aren't I the nearest of him? How could you then say that this doesn't belong to me? And that's why, if you go and read Sahih, for example, Bukhari, and you'll see that Fatima dies angry with Abu Bakr. This dying angry with Abu Bakr is not something easy. What do I mean by that? To be committed to Allah enough for you to speak out against the Khalifa is not easy. That requires patience. Because you know the backlash from doing it could be severe. And what a backlash. Eventually loses her life at the age of 18. Because she spoke out. Asiya, tortured. Maryam, slandered. Fatima, killed. All of them had these things in common. Many said, women are not strong. Have they met these four ladies? Come and meet these four. And they'll tell you that against the arrogance of our time, we stood up. We remained strong. We persevered. We did not care about names and surnames. When there was injustice, we were there to speak out. And that's why, no doubt, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, who did she learn this from? Her mother, Khadija alayhi salam. Her mother, where was her greatest display of patience, perseverance, and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I ask all of you here a question, and everybody watching at home, that if today I told you there's a country where there are a group of leaders, And these leaders are oppressing their people, and their people have no medical aid, and their people have no food, and their people have no drink, and their people have no shelter, and their children are crying, and their children are dying. And I asked you to name me that country. Some of you will say Yemen. Some of you will say Afghanistan. Some of you will say Syria. And then I turn around to you and say, I'll tell you what that country is called. It's called the Shi'b of Abu Talib. The Valley of Abu Talib. 3 years of economic sanctions against the Prophet and his family and a few of the companions. Not all the companions. Some of them had mushrik friends who were related to them in Mecca who they can go and stay with in that period. But the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, was in that Shi'b. Yes. What did he need? Patience, perseverance, commitment to Allah. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was in that Shi'b. How old was he when he was in that Shi'b? Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam was in his teens when he was in the Shi'b of Abu Talib. Yes. Until the end of the period of the Shi'b, you found that Imam would have gone into his 20s, but you found that Imam was what? He was in his teens. How many of us have that patience like Imam Ali alayhi salam had in his teens? In the Shi'b, you know what they did? No more food to them. No drink to them. No one can trade with them. But Baba, some of us have kids. The kids are crying and starving. They used to say in the valley of Abu Talib, the one who sadly they ended up saying is a kafir, even though he gave his value to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's most difficult moments. In the valley of Abu Talib, Abu Talib's valley, Meccans could hear children crying. You know, in Yemen, Afghanistan, there are kids crying because of poverty, because of lack of medical aid. You want to see where Yemen and Afghanistan originates? Come to the Shi'b of Abu Talib. Which lady in that Shi'b was the one who looked after every child there with her wealth? Her daughter Fatima in that Shi'b. Do you know how old Fatima al-Zahra was when they were in the Shi'b? 2 years old at the beginning. 3 years later, five. A two-year-old in the middle of a valley with no help. Her mother would look after her, but look after every child. Her mother gave all her wealth away so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would be in a state of peace. Her mother would make sure that anyone who needed food, they could eat, even if the mother Khadija would remain hungry. Or they would drink, even if the mother Khadija would remain thirsty, until it had a monumental effect on Khadija's body. Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam, who was Amirat Quraysh, Al-Tahira, the princess of Quraysh, the pure, ends up being so frail on a night like this in Mecca. A night like this in Mecca, wallah, there are Muslims who claim to love the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who are celebrating the holy month of Ramadan. Tonight, none of them are remembering Sayyida Khadija. And they say, you, the Shia, don't respect the wives of the Prophet. I'm remembering her. How can I not respect them? Night 10 of the holy month of Ramadan, it's only the Shia who remember Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. The rest of the Muslim world, night 10 of the holy month of Ramadan, none of them are giving lectures on Sayyida Khadija. Wallah, if someone else died on the night 10 of Ramadan, they'd give a billion lectures on her. But Sayyida Khadija, the aim was always to sideline. Like, while I'm alive, there's no sidelining. Never forget that. So, on a night like this in Mecca, what do you find? In the Shi'b of Abu Talib, there's a funeral about to take place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi looks and he sees his daughter Fatima, 5 years of age. Whenever you see an orphan in the street of Iraq or the street of Yemen or the street of Afghanistan, or the street of Syria, never forget that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was orphan. But never forget Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was an orphan at the age of 5. Her mother Khadija, normally someone who's got money, what's the most basic thing they can buy? A kafan. Most basic thing you can buy if you have money is that you can buy a kafan. What does a kafan cost? You can buy a kafan in Karbala today. You can buy turbas and kaka shifas in Karbala today. You can buy a lot which is related to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt on the streets of Karbala. Basic thing that you can buy is a kafan. The wealthiest of the wealthy has no kafan to cover her body. Wallah, this is the saddest of narrations, no doubt, my dear brothers and sisters. Because on a night like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, his heart is broken. Imam Ali's heart is broken as well. Because Sayyidah Khadija was like a mother figure for Amir al-Mu'mineen. The way Fatima bint Asad was a mother figure for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Al-Muhammad on a night like this, it's the most difficult night for them. It's the grandmother of Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam. Remember, Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam were not born at this time. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, part of the ilm that's given to him is of the ghaib, is of what will happen in the future. He was told about Karbala years before Karbala happened. He was told about Imam al-Mahdi before Imam al-Mahdi has even reappeared. He writes and tells us that one day the Mahdi and the Dajjal and the Sufyani, it wouldn't be a surprise, one alim says, if Rasulullah on a night like this sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would be informed about his family members and what his family members would go through on a night like this. Some narrations allude to the fact that her Khadija did not have a kafan long enough to cover her body. Yes. So if you don't have a kafan long enough to cover your body, then in that moment the heavens step in. They come and they say, for what she gave the religion of Islam, how could we not have a kafan ready for her? So you imagine, as one poet alludes to, imagine Jibreel alayhi salam on a night like this coming towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. He comes towards him on a night like this and he recognizes that the Holy Prophet is broken and the Holy Prophet is inconsolable. He recognizes that the lady who was the backbone of his life, the lady who gave him absolutely everything in his life, the lady who was there for him every step of the way, this lady now lies on the ground of the shi'ib of Abu Talib with no kafan to cover her body. May Allah never show you a day in which your father or mother's body has no kafan on it. May Allah never show you a day where your father or mother's body has injuries all over it. May Allah never show you a day where your mother lies on the ground helpless with no one to carry her body. Everybody deserves a janazah. Everybody deserves a kafan. Everybody deserves a community to look after them. On a night like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen and the rest of Al-Muhammad, on a night like this, there around the body of the lady who gave everything back to the religion of Islam. When Jibreel, the poet, comes to us and says, Jibreel, it's as if he came to Rasulullah and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, here's five kafans for you. Allahu Akbar. Ya Rasulullah, here's five kafans for you. He said to him, Jibreel, tell me about the first of these five. He said to him, Jibreel said to him, Ya Rasulallah, the first of them is for your wife Khadija, so that there's a kafan to cover her body. Yes, the way this poet takes us is wonderful, because each of us know where this poet is heading. He says to him, Jibreel, tell me about the second kafan. He said to him, the second kafan, Ya Rasulallah, is for you when you die. So there's a kafan to cover your holy body. He said to him, Jibreel, tell me about the third kafan. He said to him, O Prophet of God, the third kafan is for Fatima al-Zahra, that when she dies, there's a kafan to cover her body. He said to him, tell me about the fourth kafan. He said to him, the fourth kafan is for Amir al-Mu'mineen, that when he's struck on his head, there's a kafan to cover his body. He said to him, Jibreel, tell me about the fifth kafan. He said to him, the fifth kafan is for your grandson Hassan, that when he dies, there's a kafan to cover his body. The next line line that the poet quotes is a line that breaks all of our hearts. It's as if Rasulullah turned around to Jibreel at this moment and said, where is the kafan for Abu Abdullah? Tell me, where is the kafan for Abu Abdullah? Jibreel, you said there's a kafan for me, and a kafan for Khadija, and a kafan for Fatima, and a kafan for Ali, and a kafan for Hassan. Tell me, Abu Abdullah, will he have a kafan to cover his body? It's as if Jibreel replied, his kafan will be the arrows of Bani Umayyah. His kafan will be the hooves of the horses of Bani Umayyah. There'll be no kafan to cover the body of Abu Abdullah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, raise us with Sayyida Khadija alayha salam. Allow us to receive her intercession in this world and the hereafter. All of you at home, ala hubbi Khadija in Arabic, ala hubbi Khadija. All of you, try and put it on your Twitter, hashtag, all the social media. There's a huge movement for the love of Khadija on this night. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.